Hi, welcome to the 13th episode of Two Friends with Nothing in Common. My name's Manuela, and I'm going to tell a quick story about how Andrew and I have nothing in common. So, when it comes to meeting new people, people that one of us have maybe talked to each other about many times before, like, I noticed that we take different approaches to that, and for me, it's to meet that person and to tell that person every single thing that Andrew has told me about that person to their face, and then the friend is like, oh, okay. But then for Andrew, he is the kind of person that, like, kind of questions the other friend, even though he already knows all the answers, but he just kind of acts dumb, but, like, or, like, inquisitive about
Yeah, it's like a bonding experience. That's like how you bond with the person.
And I'm not afraid to go all in.
It's like you have a map. Like you kind of know like what direction to go down, but like you know. So like you ask them the questions, and you ask a question that you know like either it's going to be a negative, and then you're like, oh okay, like it's like a decoy. Like I knew that wasn't right, but like I can't act like I know all the answers already because that'd be
weird. Yeah, I like knowing but, things.
Yeah,
but I don't like when people do that to me.
Yeah, it creeps them out. That's
okay.
All right, so weekly recap, more like 2-weekly recap.
Hey, sorry, fam.
So my sister returned from Spain 2 Fridays ago. She was a nanny there. For 3 months this summer.
Wow.
So, went back to St. Louis, got to greet her at the airport, and that was really cool.
So fun.
Yeah, it was awesome. And then, the next morning, we took a day trip to Indiana to see my dad's, extended family, and that was pretty great. Had a nice family road trip. Road trips with my family usually go pretty smoothly. We don't have any conflicts or anything like that.
Wow, the perfect family.
You know, just... Just doing our thing. But, no, it was good, though. We got to see my grandma and then bond with the cousins. My cousin and his wife are having their first baby. We went to a gender reveal party. They're having a girl.
Ooh.
They, like, popped a balloon and pink confetti stuff came out. And then there's a baby food guessing game.
Ugh.
And they had, like, 8 selections on the table.
I'm just kidding.
Yeah. No, it was... it was good, too, because they had, like... guest prizes. Like, it was, like, a family party, but they had guest prizes for attending, and, like, there was an attendance prize, and then there was the baby food thing, like, if you got it all right.
Mm-hmm.
So they had it worked out pretty nice. Yeah.
Good job.
Also, I was pretty confident in my baby food testing skills, and I actually only got, like, 70% correct or something, so I'm not that...
Stay humble.
Not that skilled. Yeah. So if you need someone to test baby food, I am not your person.
Good to know. Nope.
Yeah. Then on the way back, we stopped at a McDonald's to go to the bathroom. And at this point, like, so my sister Abby was like super jet lagged and she was like super slap happy. And we stopped to go to the bathroom. My parents like to buy something when they go to a restaurant, just to use the bathroom. So I was on dog duty.
Muffin.
Our Yorkie poodle was in the car, and
she's so
I was
cute.
I was tending to her while my family used the restroom. And when they went in, I was like, "Hey, by the way, like I know you like to get me McDonald's gift cards, but like it's too greasy for me, so I can't really use the gift card anymore."
Because you have
because I have ulcerative colitis. Is that what you're trying to say? Anyway,
in case you guys didn't know,
now everyone on the podcast knows, but that's fine. Anyway, so I was on muffin duty, and then my mom, after like 10 minutes or so, my mom walks out of McDonald's with a bag in her hand and this big smile on her face. I'm like, okay. And so I roll down the window. I'm like, what she got in the bag? And then, like, in this British accent, which I'm not going to do because I can't do British accents, but she's like, biscuits for everyone.
You did it anyway. I'm done.
And so I was like, what? And then she's like, yeah. And then she and Abby get in the car. And then Abby's like, yeah, you can have a little bit of mine if you want. I'm like, what do you mean? Like, didn't you just say biscuits for everyone? She's like, oh, no, we only got 2. I'm like, there's 4 of us. And she's like, yeah, but you said you can't have McDonald's. I was like, I meant, like, I can't have a greasy hamburger. I can have a biscuit. And she's like, oh, that's too bad. And I was like, you're not going to share? And she's like, no. And I turned to my sister and she's like, actually, no, sorry. And so they're like eating their biscuits in the car. And then my dad comes back out and he's like, what's wrong? I'm like, she just said biscuits for everyone. And then she's not giving me a biscuit. And he's like, you want a biscuit? And so then he goes back in and waits 10 minutes and comes back with two more biscuits. So me and him get biscuits then.
Wow. The first Mickey road trip debacle.
Yes. And then as we get back on I-64, he like turns on the deck light so that he can like apply butter to like because you need a light to put butter on.
Why? When
you, I don't know. I feel like you can do that just fine in the awesome. The glow from the headlights, but you know, that's fine.
Was it nighttime?
Yeah, it was a day trip. Sense. Sorry, yes.
Okay,
this was on the way back home.
Yeah. I mean, you don't want to just apply butter in the dark.
I feel like it's pretty straightforward, though. Like, it's a round biscuit. You have a knife. Just
But you want to make sure it's, like, spread evenly around. You don't want to bite into the biscuit without, and like, miss a chunk of butter.
Okay, well.
It's something we don't have in common.
Well, I just mean, because, like, when you're driving, the courtesy of not having the light on with the, you know.
Okay, but it was for, like, 5 seconds. Anyway, go on.
He was being efficient. I don't know. It was like more like a minute and a half.
Okay.
Yeah. Actually, no, it was more like 3 minutes. Anyway, but so then, last week, I played Hostage with some friends, which was pretty good. Actually, I dropped off our guest at one point. She can defend herself later or make comments on that later. But the only casualties in the game were some Sour Patch Kids, which ended up on the floor of Price Cutter. But it was a good game. If you don't know what Hostage is, it's an innocent game where you where you drive around the city and or the area that you live in, and you have two teams of four, and two people on your team sit in the backseat of the other team's car blindfolded. And then you have a time limit, like 15 minutes, where you leave a designated location, drop off those people, and then those people take off their blindfolds, call their teammates that just dropped off the other people, and you try and figure out where you are without using Google Maps, Snapchat Maps, Find Your Friends, anything like that. No GPS stuff. And then you use, like, landmarks and street signs and stuff to figure out where you are, and you can, like, walk, like, as far away as you want from your drop-off location. You're not, like, stuck there. But anyways, it's a fun game. Really good game.
Play it with us.
Yes. Highly recommended. We're always looking for people to play with us. But yeah, then I went ice skating this past week. That was fun. And I went to a Parks and Rec trivia night last night.
Oh, yeah. How was that?
It was good. They only had 3 rounds.
Weird.
But they dragged it out so that... it was at 417 Tap House, so like they spread it out, I think, so that people would buy more beverages and they could rake in that revenue. But
food,
yeah. But you know, they get their money from those drinks. Well, I'm pretty sure. But yeah, no, it was good. It was a lot of fun.
Nice. Yeah, I had a good past couple weeks too. I had a friend come visit me a couple weekends ago in Springfield, and that was really fun. We went to Mother's Brewery.
Oh, nice.
And they give out free tours of the brewery every Saturday, so if you're interested, go get a tour. It's actually really awesome, and you get free beer at the end. But yeah, it's like my third time on that tour, and I keep learning something new every time I go, so maybe one day I'll be able to give the tour.
You should.
But yeah, that was really fun. And then also, we went to Bass Pro, which, like, I work at the headquarters, but I had never been to the actual store, except for once. I guess twice, because I snuck in to... Anyway, but we went to Bass Pro, and it was actually really cool. They have, like, little museums in there that you can, like, learn stuff about, like, guns.
Education.
They had this little area dedicated to Theodore Roosevelt, and he's my absolute favorite. And so that was cool. I, like, read some stuff, and I was like, I already knew this, but, like, it's cool. But I saw, like, a copy of his, like, NRA, like, membership.
Oh, his card? Or what was it?
National Rifle Association.
Or, yeah, like, but, like, did he have a membership
yeah,
card?
Yeah, it was, like, a little, like, paper thing that... So, yeah, I don't know. I just love Theodore Roosevelt, so it was cool to see all that stuff about him. And,
nice.
Yeah, it was cool to go to Bass Pro, because, you know, I do money. Anyway, so then this past weekend, I got to go home and visit my parents, so that was really fun. Classic Lou Lenz, my dad, made me breakfast and coffee, and
aww.
Then You know, we just hung out and saw my grandma with some of my other family members, so that was cool. Nice. And then I went to my second St. Louis Cardinals baseball game, and that was really fun because I had been to one previously, and I wasn't paying attention enough, according to my mom, and she said, I'm never taking you to a ball game again. And then she never did. So
sticks to her word.
I know, she's really good at that. But yeah, so I got to go to my second ever baseball game. Cardinals won. It was pretty awesome. It was cool. And then this week I finished reading Series of Unfortunate Events. Finished all 13 books. Pretty dope. I liked the ending. I won't give it away for people who don't know what it is. And then I got to go see fireworks at Drury, also with our guest, and our other friend who was also on this show. But yeah, the fireworks show was amazing. Luckily I was in the backseat, so I didn't have to help with parking, so I got to watch the whole thing. and then we got out of the car and like ran over to Drury and saw like the finale, and it was pretty awesome. Ooh. Yeah, and then, I don't know, I've just been hanging out with Andrew, it seems like.
Shenanigans just, in Springfield.
Yeah, just me and him running this city. but yeah, I mean, other than that, I just go to work every day, do the same things, and I love it still. So yeah, that was my week.
Thanks. So now our...
now we have our guest.
Yes.
Tiffany Wortham.
Hello.
Hello, Tiffany.
Nice to see you again.
How are the fireworks?
They were pretty dope. We only caught... First of all, the fireworks themselves were only like 11 minutes long total. And we caught about the last 30 seconds of them when we actually got to our optimal viewing spot. But it was worth it because they were cool. So mm-hmm.
Good.
Yeah, it was good. It was a good little thing we had. Yeah, and we got Sonic before, and,
heck yeah, you know,
made memories.
Yeah, it was a good experience. It was very fun.
So what are you going to tell us about, Tiffany?
So I am a computer science student at Missouri Ooh. State, and I'm going to talk about that.
Nice.
So here's the thing about computer science. When I say computer science, people think that it's rocket science, but I'm here to tell you now that it's actually just computer science. So, here's the thing.
Oh, okay. So, what is computer science?
I have a formal definition here Ooh. From good old Wikipedia.
Yes!
So, Wikipedia states... Yes, exactly. So, Wikipedia states, computer science is the study of the theory, experimentation, and engineering that form the basis for the design and use of computers. Here's the thing about that. It may sound kind of spooky, mm-hmm. but... It's really not, because I think people just don't, like, really know what it is. Even I, like, don't super know what computer science itself is.
Can you give us, like, a really simple definition?
Well, here's the thing, is that I think that most computer science, like, programs are sort of, like, geared more towards, I don't know. When I think of computer science, I think of, like, my education and, like, programming and things like that. But obviously, like, it encapsulates, like, a lot more things, like, than just, like, programming. But programming is definitely, like, a huge part of it. But I am on the software development track of computer science. So that means... I don't know. I think basically what that means for me is, well, first of all, I didn't have to take as many math classes. That's another misconception, is a lot of people think that computer science, like, takes a lot of math and things like that. And, oh, you have to be a math genius. I actually hate math. I took one math class in college, and then I was done. And that's all that I had to take. Yeah, I am not a huge fan of math, but I really love, like, what I do in the computer science department. I love programming. So programming is basically just, like, logic. So, you know, depending on what you do, I mean, you can go into things that may require a lot of math, mm-hmm. but I'm on the software development track. That doesn't require a whole lot of math. I'm pretty happy about that. Instead of taking so much math that you automatically have a math minor, you can choose whatever minor you want. Mm-hmm. I chose philosophy. So literally you can choose whatever minor you want with this track. So I feel like it provides a lot of freedom. But basically, a lot of what I do is programming, and it's very fun, and I think a lot more accessible than people think. And I think it would be interesting if more people that, like, who had, like, career, like, paths or, like, had majors that, like, didn't necessarily have anything to do with computer science took maybe, like, an introductory computer science class, because I think it really does, I don't know, sharpen those critical thinking skills, you know. I don't know. I just think it's a good experience. It's more accessible than people think. It's very fun.
So what's so great about programming?
I don't know. Oh. I don't know. I really enjoy it. And here's the kicker. The thing that I like most about programming is actually something that I'm probably never really gonna see on the job, like, ever. So basically, the thing that got me hooked when I took my first introductory class, and so in this class we learned Python. It's a very, like, easy, intuitive language that a lot of people start on. I type out these words, right? I write this program with this thing in mind that I want it to do, and then it just does it, and I can, like, see this finished product. Now, when you're actually, like, writing, like, code, like, on the job and things like that, like, it's almost never like that. Like, you're usually, like, working on things that, like, already exist and things like that. So, you know, you might be, you know, developing a product, and that's sort of like an ongoing process. You know, you're working on parts of a whole. But in those introductory classes, whenever you just, like, write something and it's like a whole and it's like a just a product. Like, one time I wrote a Pong game.
Oh.
So, you know, like, the game Pong. So I, like, wrote that in Python, and it was so rewarding to, like, see the fruits of my labor and to be able to, like, play it, and, like, I don't know, that's just, like, super cool. So I guess it's kind of weird that, like, the thing that I like most about it is something that I'm not gonna really, like, it's not really gonna happen on the job. But it's still, I don't know, it's just cool. I still like the other aspects of it.
What are the other aspects? Oh, sorry.
Or, wait, why do you say that you won't see the reward of it? Is it because, like, you would do kind of more, like, maintenance stuff? Or?
Yeah, so it's, like, there's always, like, it's always going to be usually something that, like, already exists that you're working on, and you're just, like, developing it, making it better. Or, you know, if you're making something new, it's probably still part of a whole, and you always, you know, will probably be working on a team, and things like that.
Teamwork makes
so,
the dream work.
Yeah, teamwork makes the dream work, so...
Those group projects never go away.
Yeah, that's true. Honestly, yeah, like, after you graduate, your whole life's just gonna be one big group project, so...
Yikes. I do have another question. So you said your software development, like, that's your track.
Mm-hmm.
What are some of the other ones?
So the other track is just regular computer science, and that's the one that, you know, takes a little more math. So that is the one that probably, you know, fits more the formal definition of computer science, the study of theory, experimentation, and engineering that form the basis for the design and use of computers. They actually used to not have...
I'm sorry, my stomach made a really weird
Your
noise.
Stomach.
I'm having a hard week, okay? Anyway, go on, Tiffany.
anyhow. anyway.
Or math intensive.
Oh, yeah. So, yeah, they used to not have the other option. They actually came out with that option my sophomore year.
Oh, okay.
And that's when I actually decided to declare my major. I mean, my freshman year, even though I, like, knew I wanted to do computer science the whole time, basically, I was afraid of committing, and so I didn't, blah, 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 whatever. But here we are now. So, yeah.
Nice. What was your question initially?
I don't even remember.
Oh, rip.
No. So tell us how, if someone wanted to get involved in coding right now, they're not studying this at school. Mm-hmm. How could they access that?
So it's actually very, like, easy and accessible. There are tons of things online. Like, there are courses you can take, I know. Code Academy is one website where they have a bunch of free classes for a lot of, like, common languages. And literally, it'll take you through, like, bit by bit. And they'll usually have, like, a console, like, in the browser that you can, like, do stuff with, and it'll be like, do this. Like, it'll tell you how something works, and then it'll be like, okay, now you do it. And then it gives you feedback on, like, what you did, or maybe what you did wrong, what you should do, and things like that. So there are tons of courses out there like that. Some you can pay for, but really, like, a lot of free resources.
So why are you even going to college?
Yeah, why are you even going to college? No, seriously. And I think, like, it used to be, like, a lot of people, like, most people didn't go to college for this. I think more people go to college for it now, but it used to be like, okay, just, like, show me your skills, show me what you've done, show me what you got, and, like, without a degree or anything, like, if you have the skills, if you have the knowledge, like, you'll get hired. I don't think it's as much like that now, but I do think that, like, if you really do have, like, the skills, the knowledge, like, if you had the discipline to, like, put yourself through, like, those sort of courses and, like, gaining that sort of knowledge to the point where, like, you could, like, get a job somewhere. Yeah, I think you could, like, get a job somewhere. But, yeah, and, like, YouTube videos even are, like, tremendously helpful if you need to, like need help understanding a concept. Because, like, for me, there have been many points in classes where I'm like, okay, I'm just really not getting this. Let me, like, watch some YouTube videos. There are plenty of, like, tutorials, people explaining things, and I'm like, oh, okay, this makes a lot more sense now. Yeah, so really, I mean, you don't even need school, but I was just like, well, I'm going to school. what should I do? And I picked this. Nice. So, yeah.
Why should we learn coding?
It's the future. I know everyone says that about everything, but, like, and something that I think is really cool is they're, like, starting to teach kids, like, coding, like, as young as, like, I don't know, like, elementary school, you know? Just really, like, basic, like, high-level, like, just sort of, like, coding and, like, logic skills, which actually kind of spooks me, because I feel like once they, like, get up, like, into the job force, they're gonna, like, come in, be better than me, because they learned at a younger age, and then take my job.
Yes.
But those are probably just my, anxieties, like, coming through, and, like, manifesting them, and, like, not being, like, real, but, like, I don't know, we'll see. We'll see if some Generation Z-er takes my
TBD.
Job
yeah.
sometime.
Stay. We'll let you know, guys.
But, yeah.
So, you mentioned Python earlier, and then, is it called binary when it's, like, the zeros and ones? Is there, like, what's the primary difference between those two entities?
Good question. Good question. Okay. So, how that works is, like, so I mentioned earlier, so the sort of, like, the languages that they use to teach kids coding in school, that is, like, super high level. So basically, like, what that means is that, let's see, how do I put this? Basically, it's just, like, really simple, it's very, sorry, I'm trying to think of... It's not a hard concept to explain. I'm just really bad at explaining things, is the thing.
So basically, you don't know it.
That is the most...
I'm sorry.
Life is a lie, if that's true.
Yeah, same. I don't know anything.
It's true. If you can't teach it, then you don't know it well enough.
Yeah,
anyway, go
I
on.
Mean, I guess I can't teach anything then.
I'm sorry.
But basically, so that is, like, the highest, like, you know, that's, like, really high level. Python is, like, lower level than that, and then lower level than that would be, like, any sort of, like, machine language, and then below that would be binary. So what I mean by all of that is basically the computer, when it looks at any sort of, like, language that we would use, such as, like, Python, it looks at it, and it's like, okay, I don't know what to do with this, but then it turns it into machine code, which is, like, more, like, it's, like, lower level. And basically, like, you would never, like, well, you would code in machine code to, like, learn it, because I did, like, for a class, but you would never actually do that. It's, like, super inefficient.
Okay.
And so, yeah. Yeah, so, like, sorry. I'm, like, trying to think of the best way to explain this.
Good.
But basically, it, like, turns it into that, and then, like, from there, I'm not sure, there might be, like, some other steps, but it takes that, and then it turns it into binary, which is, like, even lower level. Like, you would never, like, code, like, that would take so long. Like, it's, like, so much, just, like...
So meticulous with, like, all the inputting, all that.
Yeah, but that is what the computer can understand. So it goes through, like, all of these, like, layers of abstraction. So basically, you know, when you're coding in Python and you, you know, do a certain thing, maybe, let's say that that, like, takes up, you know, one or two, three lines of code. You know, in, like, machine language, that's gonna be, like, a ton more lines of code, and then in binary, that's just gonna be, like, who knows how much, you know?
Okay.
So, I hope that answers your question. I probably did not explain
it. No, I think you did a good job.
Could have explained it a lot more concisely than that, but, you know, did my best.
Solid, solid.
Yeah.
You have a question? Yeah, you asked the last question.
Usually you say, do you want to ask the last question?
Oh,
anyway, Tiffany, if you could tell everybody in the world one thing about computer science, what would it be?
So here's the thing. I already kind of hit on this a little bit, but one thing that I really want everyone to know is that you can do it.
Wow.
So.
That was good.
Yeah. No, here, like, seriously, like, when it comes to, like, and specifically programming, too. When it comes to programming, I think a lot of people who have never tried it dismiss it, saying, I couldn't do that, I don't like math, my brain just doesn't work that way, like, it's probably pretty boring. It's nothing like math, I hate math. Seriously, anyone can do it, like, you just have to try it. I think a lot of people think that they can't do it just because they haven't tried it. Hmm. And I think that, like, once people try it, it's a lot more fun than they think. And, like I said before, it's really accessible. There are tons of ways to teach yourself. You can stay as simple or get as advanced as you want. And it's just so useful. Like, there's so many different things that you can do with it. So, don't be afraid to get out there and try it if you want to. And even if you don't want to, like, you should want to.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah.
Well, thanks for being on our show, Tiffany. That was very enlightening about coding and programming and computer science.
Yes.
We're going to move on to our drink segment, which Tiffany is still going to join us for.
Mm.
Andrew picked up a pickle slushy for today.
Sonic.
Oh, sorry. I thought you, like, spilled it on the ground.
No, it's just, like, very gloopy.
Very plop.
Melted.
But, yeah. Because it's a slushy.
And I bought it, like, an hour ago. Yeah. Over an hour ago.
It's okay.
Mm. Okay. Oh, I didn't give you that
so
much.
So, that's okay. I don't want a lot.
Playing chemistry,
oh,
you know.
Okay. Mm. Thank you, Andrew.
Okay. So, we're going to clink this.
I'm going to open my straw.
Sonic pickle slushy. Oh, aren't you fancy?
Some might say I'm extra.
That's styrofoam clink. Oh, okay.
Ugh.
Well, it tastes like pickle.
Oh, it's not as pickly as I thought it would be. It's okay.
All right, I got my list here. Intense. It's not really that intense. Robust. Let's say robust.
Robust marinara sauce.
Tingly.
Wow.
No afterburn.
Okay, you could have just used your own words. I think it was... I like to drink just straight pickle juice, but for some reason the idea of, like, pickle juice and, like, slushy, sugary stuff, like, it does not taste very good to me.
Mm-hmm.
So I wasn't a huge fan. I guess it's because it's, like, it's that mixture of sweet and sour. When usually, like, Sour Patch Kids, like, first it's sour, then it's sweet.
Yeah.
But
then it's gone, yeah.
Then they're on the price cutter floor.
True.
But, yeah, I don't know. I don't like that it's, like, at the same time, because my mind's like, what?
Yeah, it's kind of like a little bit like watered-down pickle juice with some sugar in it.
Yeah.
It's kind of in a good way, not in like a bad way. Tart. Like
mm-hmm. Paige says tart.
And tart's a good word.
I would say it is one of a kind.
Yep. True.
And cold.
Original.
These are your words on your list, bro. Oh, Tiffany's gonna read some words.
I would say it's pretty assertive. Actually, it's not assertive. I don't know why. No, it's not assertive, because I will say I haven't ever tasted this before, and it was a lot more subtle than I thought. Yeah. I mostly can smell it, like it smells like that's pickle true. Juice, but when I taste it, it tastes pretty sweet, maybe a little sour, but not very vinegary. So I'd say it's not assertive. I'd say it's a bit cutting edge, somewhat exotic. Not very legendary.
Low-key exotic.
Yeah, low-key exotic.
That's funny.
And unequaled. Unequaled.
I think that's a good word to end on. Yeah. Yes, unequaled.
All right, so let's move into our pop culture segment. Tiffany, thanks for being our guest on our drink and our show, Pop Culture. Andrew, you can go first.
All right. So
also ignore Andrew's hand farts because I did. And you should too.
Rude.
Okay, come on.
So I saw the Christopher Robin movie this week in theaters, and it's good. It stars Ewan McGregor, and who plays the fictional character of Christopher Robin as an adult, not to be confused with the. Was it called Return? Or there was some Christopher Robin movie that came out in theaters last year, and that was about the real life Christopher Robin, A.A. Milne's son who wrote the Winnie the Pooh books. But this is about the fictional character as an adult, and I like the movie. It like starts out with the Christopher Robin as a boy in the Hundred Acre Wood with Winnie the Pooh and all those people, like at a picnic table, and it's like a goodbye party because like he's about to go off to boarding school. And it was, like, it was, like, really sad. Because this is, like, it's like, a live-action movie. But then they have, like, these stuffed animals that, like, are voiced by people and stuff. And, like, they're moving. And I don't know why, but it was, like, pulling my heart out of my chest. It was, like, so emotional.
I'm dead.
Yeah, I, like, left the movies. And I told my friends, I was, like, I was a bit weepy at the beginning.
Oh, my gosh.
I don't know why. But anyways, so
you do
they...
You.
Yeah, you know, those stuffed animals get me. But the what I thought was interesting about... Sorry, I'm jumping around. Basically, then, like, you see, like, the beginning of the movie, it's, like, snippets of Christopher Robin growing up, and you see him, like, go through some hardships and just, like, becoming an adult, you know, seeing that childhood stuff kind of fade away and be, like, yesteryear for him. And then he gets married, has a daughter... And then, like, really busy with work and stuff like that, and just, like, so focused on trying to succeed in the workplace that he starts to neglect his family. And then the premise of the movie then is Pooh Bear just shows up one day, and he's like, what the heck are you doing here? Like, how are you here? And Winnie the Pooh is just, like, talking how he always does, and he's like, I'm here. What do you mean? I don't know. I can't. I'm not going to do Winnie the Pooh voice. But, you know, he's
but
just
you
like,
did such a great British accent.
But the way Winnie the Pooh talks, it's just, like, so simple, and he talks like a kid. And so he's, you know, kind of like that roundabout logic when he's talking to Christopher Robin. And so it's all these funny dynamics play out. The cinematography.
This is so funny.
The cinematography was funny because, like, Winnie the Pooh, like, he's this, like, stuffed bear. And, like, he's walking around and stuff, but, like, the camera will, like, zoom in on his little, like, paws, like, walking on the grass, or, like, he'll, like, spill honey in the house, and, like, he, like, swipe it across Christopher Robin's face, or I don't know, and, like, you see the honey, like, goop around and stuff, and then it's, like, dripping on the floor, and he's walking in, and it's, like, making you cringe, but, anyways, so, the voice actors for this, the guy that voiced Winnie the Pooh and Tigger in this movie is the guy from the cartoons that, like, we're familiar with. He's been voicing Pooh since 1988.
Wow.
And Tigger since 2005. And then also, the guy that voiced Eeyore in this movie was Brad Garrett, who, if you don't know who that is, he's Robert on Everybody Loves Raymond. He's got the really deep voice. And kind of like the woe is me kind of persona. So, like, he's the perfect Eeyore, and he did a good job with it. I didn't realize it was him until the end of the movie. Also, Eeyore stole the show. He was hilarious. And I'm not even, like, a big Eeyore person.
With his, like, depression jokes?
Yeah, yeah. Just, like, so... okay, just so negative. Drew. Well, like... It's just so funny. Well, and then, like, Christopher Robin at one point was, like, talking with him, and he was, like, just, like, negating everything Christopher Robin said. Like, Christopher Robin was trying to reason with him, and Eeyore's like, okay. And then he just, like, keeps on, like, ignoring what he just said. Another thing about this movie, So I'm just going to say it right now. I'm going to give it a C+.
Wow.
So,
even though you said you loved it so much...
I don't know if I said I loved it. I liked it.
Okay, you just said you were weepy. I feel like if you're weepy,
it was
you like it.
If you like a feel-good movie, this is for you. But I'm not... I kind of like
Adrian
more...
Adrian hates feeling good.
That I just need a little something more to it. It was a little slow-paced at parts.
Okay, that's fair.
And also, it did not have Gopher in it.
It's Gopher. Maybe I don't even know Winnie the Pooh.
No! So, Gopher's in the Disney cartoons. He's the, like, little,
Gopher?
Yes. And he's great, and he has, like, a whistly voice and, like, two, like, large teeth. And he's, like, his running gag on the cartoons is he'll be, like, walking and talking, and he'll fall in his gopher hole while talking. And, like, his voice will, like, fade away, and then you hear, like, a thud when he hits the bottom of his gopher hole. Sometimes he would wear a miner hat, I think. Also, Rabbit's my favorite character, but Gopher's a close second. Anyway, also, before I close my portion of this segment, I will also say it was interesting that in this movie, they made Rabbit and Owl real animals. Like, they looked like real animals, while all the others were stuffed animals, mm-hmm. which is actually how A.A. Milne, like, described them in his books.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. So that was interesting that they kind of went back towards that, adaption. Additionally, the voice actors, aside from the ones I already mentioned, for the animals, they were all played by, British or Scottish, individuals. So it was kind of like, it had that more English kind of, tone.
Cool.
Yeah. Yeah.
Can you give an example of what that tone is like?
I already gave a British accent.
Nice. Okay, cool.
But yeah, what's your
So I'm going to talk about this show that I was watching on Netflix. It's called The Good Place.
Oh, okay.
This is the synopsis on IMDb. I always get the letters mixed up. It says, "The Good Place is a town where those who have been good throughout their lives go once they have passed. Michael is the architect who oversees the town. Eleanor, the main character, arrives at the good place and realizes she doesn't deserve to be there. With the help of Chidi, one of her friends, Eleanor tries to right her wrongs, seeking to finally earn her spot in the good place."
Interesting.
So, yeah, it's really cool because they, like, make this, like, heaven-like place where it's like, oh, you've been a good person, so mm-hmm. you get to come here.
Yeah.
And then people who are bad people go to the bad place.
Oh.
And so... Yeah, it's really funny. The main character, her name's Eleanor. She's just, like, a terrible person. I mean, we're all terrible people. But on the show, she's depicted as just, like, a terrible person who, like, gets rid of, like, she...
Would she hit old ladies?
I don't... Probably. Mm-hmm. She lies to her roommate. She, like, shirks all her responsibilities to, like, go have fun with her friends. She died because she was yelling at a man at a grocery store, and then she got hit by a bus when she dropped her, like, margarita mix. So, yeah, she gets into the good place, and she's like, I'm not supposed to be here. And so then she, like, tells Chidi, who is her soulmate, because everyone in the good place has a soulmate. So she's like, Chidi, I shouldn't be here, like, I'm not a good person. And he was like, oh, okay, I'll help you become a good person. So he starts teaching her ethics. And so then she's like, I have to be a good person to stay here, because, like, all this crazy stuff keeps happening because she's not supposed to be there. So she's like, she realizes that in order to stay in the good place, she has to do so many good things to, like, get a good score. And it's kind of, that's kind of how it's based on. The people with the highest points go to the good place because they did all these good things and they all added up together.
And hers was, like, screwed up, so yeah.
And so she was in the negatives, and so she had to, like, start to do all these things.
So she has, like,
to,
a secret tally.
Spot. Yeah. And then it wasn't working because she was doing all of the good things to, like, just to stay there, so the points weren't adding up because she wasn't doing it out of, like, the right motives. Uh-huh. And so then, like, towards the end, she realizes that. She's like, oh, no, I have to, like, I have to do this for the right reasons. And then, like, her points go way up.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah, it was kind of cool.
Is this, like, the first episode, or is this, like, as the
this
series?
Is the whole first season.
Okay.
Only
I hear
the first season
the first,
is on Netflix.
The end of the first season has a plot twist,
yes.
Right? You're not going to say it, are you?
I was, but I won't say it now.
Oh, okay.
it's a really good show. I really like it because it, like, lines up perfectly with my theology. I was going to try I was gonna try to say that with such a straight face, but I couldn't. I'm just kidding. That is not my theology.
Interesting.
I couldn't even get that sentence out.
Just, like, start laughing mid-sentence.
I know. But, yeah, so... Yes, one of my favorite things about it is there's this restaurant in The Good Place called, the restaurant is called The Good Plates, and it's the only restaurant, and the only dish is your favorite dish. Isn't that awesome?
Yeah. Nice.
But yeah, so, it's really funny.
Okay.
It has a really great storyline, and it, I mean, I would give it, like, an A. Because, like, I laugh out loud, there's good characters. It's funny because sometimes it's almost like a mix of, like, them being in the good place and then, like, flashbacks to when they were on Earth.
Oh, okay.
And so it kind of describes, like, how they got there.
Uh-huh.
And then the plot twist, like, completely blew my mind and it was so good, so go home and watch it.
Okay.
And then also, they're... Oh, there's one more thing I want. Oh, Adam Scott is on it. He is from Parks and Rec.
Yeah.
And he is the, like, the designer of The Bad Place. so, yeah. And then there's also a medium place because there is a girl who, she died, but she died because she did, like, some really good things. But then, like, she did enough good things to get enough points, but, like, she was still terrible throughout her whole life. So they, like, the good place and the bad place couldn't decide who got her, so they made the medium place, which is, like, a life of mediocrity. And so it's, like, really funny because she's, like, because one of the things is the good, she, like, gave the good place a list of things that she liked, but then the bad place made them, like, kind of bad. For, so, like, example, like, one thing is she always drinks, like, lukewarm beer. And so, like, it's her favorite beer, but it's lukewarm. So it's, like, just mediocre. Like, yeah, so it's really funny. But, yeah, it did get a little weird at the end because they, like, did, they have, like, it's almost like a human Siri. Who can, like, grant your wishes and stuff like that, but then they, like, gave her feelings, and I was like, what? Like, so that was kind of weird, and they went kind of a weird direction with that, but overall, it's a really great show. Go watch it.
Okay.
Don't believe it, because it's not how it works. It's not how you get to the good place.
Word.
But yeah, so that it, I said I'd give it an A, so yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
Cool. Quote bag because
let's
we
do
still
it.
Don't have a
jar.
Yeah.
Are these all my quotes? Oh, they are.
Oh, wait.
Oh, wait, almost. I guess I'll
only
grab
one's
one
yours.
Oh, you already know what it is.
No, I don't. I thought you took out the one that I know.
I'm pretty sure. Oh, we already did this one.
Really?
Yeah, so you have to pick it.
Okay. So this quote is, we're all pretty bizarre. Some of us are just better at hiding it, that's all. Is that
fake?
For real or fake?
Fake.
It is fiction. Was it for real or fiction? I can never remember. But no. It
was it real or fake?
It was fake in the sense that it's from The Breakfast Club.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I've seen that.
Yep. The character Andrew says that.
Nice, nice.
Which I think was Emilio Estevez.
Interesting.
Shout out to Emilio Estevez.
Also, before we leave, because we did everything.
Yes.
this is the end of our show. Sorry. Before we leave, I just wanted to go back to our guest and just say that there's a website that we used to teach our children to code with called code.org.
Ah.
So hit it up if you want to learn how to code. You start with simple things like making a star. But yeah, that's all I have.
Nice.
For this show. Thanks. Thanks.
THX. Two Friends with Nothing in Common is produced by Manuela Lenz and Andrew Meinke. Special thanks to this week's guest, Tiffany Wortham. Two Friends with Nothing in Common is recorded in the Ozarks.